Welcome. This is The Lowdown.
Woke up quick at about noon.
Booster.
Go.
Retro.
Go.
Idle.
We go fly.
Guidance.
Guidance, go.
The Lowdown. With Damian Barley.
You realize this is our radio show,
yeah,
right?
Jason Ross.
But they just need to get it right.
And Ken Rudolph.
My honest answer would be something that's probably going to be offensive.
The Lowdown.
Afternoon, gentlemen.
Broadcasting live from the Coors Light Studios. Coors Light. With great beer comes great responsibility. The Lowdown.
You mad, bro?
You mad, bro?
Knowing nothing in life but to be legit.
Now.
Don't quote me, boy, because I ain't sick.
This is The Lowdown.
Yeah, hour number two, show in progress. Thank you so much for joining us. Jason Ross, Ken Rudolph, I'm Damian Barley. We got Three the Hard Way coming up here in just a couple of minutes. Draft, NBA moves in full swing. There's so much going on. I don't even know where to start. I just want the draft to get here.
I know.
Right?
I like the draft.
It is fun.
It is fun.
Good for those.
For a few minutes.
Yeah.
And then your pick comes and goes, and it's like, all right, now what am I going to do with the rest of my night?
Wait for 59. Yeah. That's not as exciting as that.
Not so much.
Could be if you can find Isaiah again.
There you go.
A couple other NBA news. Carmelo Anthony, he's going to play in Rio.
Hey.
Yeah, more guys are saying yes, finally.
Damian Lillard is not.
Wait,
he's going to rehab.
Did he ask Lala?
I'm sure he did.
You think he? Okay.
He might have frozen his. Okay. That seems to be a trend with a lot of athletes. I think Pau Gasol said he was going to freeze his. Swimmers,
yes,
as well.
Yes,
Damian Lillard is going to rehab his plantar fasciitis. He's going to skip it. Giants get another win.
Yeah,
sweep the Pirates.
No, they didn't sweep. They lost the first game.
Yeah, they lost the Mad Bum game. 1-0.
Right? Isn't that?
Oh, that's right.
Pagan had the home run.
Too, and then
feels like an eternity ago.
Right? 4-game series. Yeah, they got 3 though.
It's always weird when we have a day off in the middle of the week.
Yeah. Throws everybody off. Absolutely.
And obviously we were off yesterday, so you could hear the A's lose again.
Oh no!
Just being honest.
Yeah. They got a good performance from their pitcher. Hey, young Matthew, what's that pitcher's name again? Mengen?
Daniel Mengden.
Mengden, thank you so much. I thought it was a good performance from him. Yeah. They just couldn't back him up. But still.
Stop me if you've heard that one before.
I'm trying to find some positives.
We're going to open up these phone lines for you. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. We ask tough questions. We want the answers from you. It's Three the Hard Way.
Three the Hard Way. Three the Hard Way.
Gentlemen, I'll lead us off because it's a draft question.
Okay.
Fits right into the topic of the day. There's a lot of pressure on you when you draft one or two. I would really say there's a ton of pressure on you when you have the top pick in the draft. Would you rather, in a draft like this, where it seems to be a comfortable consensus, Ben Simmons is the guy, but it's not the lock that you may want with that number one pick, especially when you got a guy nipping at his heels like Brandon Ingram. Would you rather draft number one in a draft like this, or would you rather let the draft come to you and be in that four, five, or six range?
I'd say number one, no doubt. Talent wins in the league. You have way more options at one because you can entertain offers.
Trailblazers drafted at number one, and the Seattle Supersonics drafted at number two.
Yeah, they missed. It happens, and they get killed for it. But if you drafted correctly, if Odin turned out to be the guy he was supposed to be, if you took Durant, you had the choice at Durant. Mm-hmm. Team three didn't. Team six wouldn't have.
Mm-hmm.
So I would still rather be put in the spot.
So you're comfortable enough, like if we're using this draft as the layout for this question, you're comfortable enough with either Ingram or Simmons at one?
In this group, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think in other years, I don't know if they're one or two.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'm like Jason, I always want to be in the driver's seat. I always want to be in control. I want to have the choosing shoes on, as they say. So I would love to be number one because, as we've already discussed, I'm arrogant enough to think that I'm smarter than everyone else.
Yeah.
So you can't tell me who the number one pick is. I decide who I want to pick.
And then you wouldn't feel the pressure of,
exactly.
Well, if I missed, I missed. I'll get it right next time.
Yeah, I'm making the selection, not the general consensus selection. I'm the number one pick. I'm deciding. But I'd love to be in that position.
Isn't Boston in a really good spot right now?
Yes.
At three, because they've lost. They know they can't get one of those two studs. So, and everyone knew going in they couldn't get one of those two studs. Only Philadelphia and L.A. They were going to get Ingram or Simmons in whatever order they went in.
Right.
So now Boston has that pick, like, okay, who wants it?
Well, they're good.
Who wants Chris Dunn bad enough?
They're in a good spot if they get a trade. I think if you ask Danny, I don't think he wants to pick third.
Right.
So if he can't get the right trade, then I don't think he's in a good spot, because then it's like, well, I'll take Chris or whoever, Jamal Murray, Chris Dunn, but I didn't really want that to start the day. He has to make the trade.
Three the hard way. Three the hard way.
All right, guys. One group of guys that used to be in the draft room in Sacramento, the Maloof family. Remember them?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
What was that again? Spell
Maloof,
that?
Maloof.
Yeah. Gotcha.
I can't remember the spelling. But they were in the news yesterday because Las Vegas got a new team, a new hockey team. Hockey in Vegas, what everybody's looking forward to. But they are going to be minority owners in the expansion team coming to Las Vegas. Saw that news hit yesterday. We'd heard about it before. Then immediately I saw a bunch of stuff on social media and probably a lot of Sacramento people, the Maloofs, this and that. My question to you guys, what would it take, if you haven't already or if you ever will, to forgive the Maloofs? Or would you ever forgive the Maloofs in this area?
Now, I don't
even need to.
I'm not sure if I am qualified to answer the question because I wasn't physically here when everything was happening, and it affects you in a different manner if you're here in the city and you feel like your franchise is being done wrong. I was in another city, and I was reading about it, and you know, my heart's here, but I'm physically somewhere else. So
and
I was,
you knew them pretty well.
And I did know them very well, yes, and so I'm paying attention. And I remember coming back here, and everything was still happening. And I was like, you know what, let me get these guys on the show and let them explain what's going on. And then that's when I found out how bad it was, when they would not come on the show to talk to me. They were like, Ken, we do not want to talk about this. And I was like, oh, then this is kind of deep. So I started doing some more research and finding, I'm like, oh, city no like you. City no like you at all. So I understand from the fans' perspective, I completely understand why they still hold a grudge. I feel like the city is in a much better shape now than before. The city kept the team. City has a new arena coming through. Maloofs are gone. Like, Sacramento, you won. So I'm like, let it go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I wish I had a more. Like, I don't care. Like,
they're not a part of it.
They're not here.
Yeah.
They're gone. Do your thing. It was annoying when they were here, but it was.
Why?
I just don't care.
Why was it annoying? You were here.
I wasn't, actually.
No, you weren't. Oh, okay.
I was following from afar.
Got it. Okay.
But you knew them, too.
The whole. We're going to it got annoying waking up every day with texts that, you know, we're going to Virginia Beach or the next year where we're going to Anaheim. And then hearing being out east and hearing from, you know, people very well connected that Anaheim deal was done.
Mm-hmm.
For those who think the Seattle deal was close, I'm convinced to this day, whether anyone admits it or not, the reason the Sacramento Kings are the Sacramento Kings today is because of the strike.
Oh,
you couldn't go to Anaheim and try to build a fan base with less than half a year to do it.
Yeah.
So that's the one where it's like, oh, are you kidding me? But it's like they're going, like, I don't care. I don't care if they want to be in hockey. Great. If they want to get back in basketball. Great. Like, if they want to get back as owners of Sacramento. Great. Like, I don't care. Like, that's that's done. If their financial situation is straight, they want to be sports owners again. Good for them.
Yeah.
Who am I to judge? What about
live
you?
Your life.
Yeah.
Live your life. Do whatever you want. Okay.
I'm kind of in the same line. I mean, to me, I knew them. They were good to me when I knew them. I hated the way it ended, but kind of the way Ken pointed out at the end, if this is the end of it, whether they're directly related to it, I see arena coming within 100 days.
Yeah.
Downtown, this team is staying. I don't really think about them anymore.
Gotta,
so it's a win.
Got to let it go.
Let that go, man.
It's time to move on.
Three the hard way. Three the hard way.
All right, guys, let's bring it back to basketball. And it's not necessarily draft-related, although the draft is part of this question, but it's more of an off-season question for the NBA. Scott Howard Cooper's comments about Sacramento Kings is notwithstanding. What team do you think needs the most help this off-season just to be competitive? Okay, maybe even say to get into the playoffs. What team needs the most help?
That's a tough one. You want to look at the teams with the worst records, right? And say, well, Philadelphia. But it feels like Philadelphia lost a lot of games on purpose. Then they had a lot of, they had Embiid's out. So if Embiid is back, like, immediately with that top pick, I think, okay, Philadelphia is going to be better. Playoff better? That's a stretch. They won 10 games last year. The Lakers? I feel like the Lakers were way worse than we actually realized. They were really bad last year, but the Kobe Bryant retirement tour was such a sideshow it detracted from how awful they really were. And I'm sure Brandon Ingram will make a very fine NBA player. That's not going to make them significantly better, in my opinion.
Yeah. First team that came to my mind is Brooklyn.
Oh, yeah.
They don't have their pick. They probably won't have next year's pick.
Brooklyn is never getting better.
Where's the help? Where's the star?
So mean.
Lopez is okay, but they trade Thaddeus Young, who's a good player, for a mid-level pick. Where's the like?
Yeah,
I
Brooklyn
could
has
the
a pick now. Yeah,
future
yeah. Yeah.
in LA. I could see a future in Philadelphia. There's a long way to go. I don't see it in Brooklyn at all.
Brooklyn is never getting better. Ken Rudolph will let you expand on that next here on The Lowdown. Monster Energy's Aftershock Music Festival is coming October 22nd and 23rd to Discovery Park, featuring Tool, Slayer, Avenged Sevenfold, Korn, or as Ken Rudolph would say,
Korn.
Primus, Disturbed, and more. Tickets are on sale. For more info, go to aftershockconcert.com. It's The Lowdown here with Jason Ross, Ken Rudolph. I'm Damian Barling. This is the NBA Draft Day Special. I want to go back to Ken's three the hard way there about which team in the draft would you say needs the absolute most help. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. I mentioned Los Angeles, and this team that Jason mentioned, the Los Angeles Lakers, by the way,
yeah.
This team that Jason mentioned wasn't even in the draft until about 2 hours ago. And that's Brooklyn.
Yeah. That's actually, when you mentioned Brooklyn, because I'd forgotten about their...
Everybody forgets about Brooklyn.
Because they weren't in the draft. They didn't, until that Thaddeus Young deal, which we'll get back to in just a second. Until that Thaddeus Young deal, they didn't have a first-round pick for the next 2 years.
And by the way, their facility is hosting the draft, by the way.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
Hey, all you Knicks fans, coming out and see who we're not taking.
Out to Barclays Center and cheer for the pick.
I remember thinking during the draft lottery between the Knicks and the Nets, there wasn't a single TV in the New York tri-state area watching that.
Yeah.
No one was watching the draft lottery. There was nothing to see. Nothing to see here, folks.
Here. Keep moving along.
Who do you think needs the most help?
You know what? And I'm probably wrong about this, but during the course of last year, I'm watching box scores, and there's a particular coach that I want to see how he does. And every time I would look, maybe once a week they'd win a game. I'd be like, oh, good for them. But for the most part, they were horrible. And I'm not quite sure how they're going to get better. That's Denver. I don't understand.
That's a weird one, yeah.
I have a tremendous amount of respect for the coach, just like the way he goes about his business. We still like Coach Malone here, but I just watch them, and I'm like, what are they doing? Like, from one night to the next, I have no idea what that team is doing. I don't know what they need to get better. So when I think about teams that need a lot of help, I'm like, I don't know what they need, so I feel like that's a team that needs the most help because I'm not sure what they need.
There's no star there either.
Nope.
And some nice, okay players, but
no.
I don't even know that they're trade-worthy guys. Maybe Fareed, but what's that going to get you?
Yeah.
They pick 7 today.
Well, they
better get it right.
They got to get on it.
Yeah.
Mention the Thaddeus Young deal. Mm. Brooklyn moved Thaddeus Young to Indiana.
For nothing.
For the 20th pick.
And a protected second round? Why do you need to protect a second round pick?
And the first thing that Jason and I discussed when this trade came in is Thaddeus Young will be better than anything at 8. Did they make one call?
Yeah.
And the Pacers said yes, and that was it? Did they call anybody else to get this deal done?
And do you think the Kings would have been receptive to that?
I would have hoped so.
I would hope, yeah. Would they have done it? Maybe not. But
Thaddeus Young is better than the Kings will get at 8.
Essentially, would you draft Thaddeus Young at 8? Is there something about his game that you don't like? And now there's questions coming across, and I think this has a lot more to do. Someone asked on the text line, Serge Ibaka is now allegedly being shopped by Oklahoma City.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Would you take Serge Ibaka at 8? And I'm like, would yes. I? Yes. Would Oklahoma City want the 8th pick for Serge Ibaka? I doubt it.
They want 8 and more.
I don't know who on this roster that they would want on that team. Excuse me, but I did think of a scenario.
Okay.
The Randy Foye backup point guard thing didn't work out there.
Okay.
And where's Randy Foye? Where was he?
He went to OKC.
That's right. He was off the bench.
Late in the year. I think I know where you're going.
8 and Darren Collison?
Okay.
Serge Ibaka.
I like the premise. There is a huge gap at point guard.
Yeah, then you don't have a point guard.
Yeah, and so that brings up, it all flows together. Okay. See, all this information in front of me now is starting to come together finally.
All right.
Derrick Rose goes to New York.
Okay.
So what was Rondo's second pick? Well, would it be Sacramento? Would you re-sign Rondo or make a harder push for Mike Conley if you can go out and get Serge Ibaka?
Okay, now it's
because you've
scenario,
lost Collison. Right? Now okay, Collison's gone.
Okay.
Collison in that eight's gone. You got Serge Ibaka here. Now you have to throw massive amount of money at Rondo or Conley.
And which one do you choose?
Well, I know which one I would choose, but which one would you be more likely to sign?
You'd Rondo.
Probably be more likely to get Rondo than you would Conley.
Really?
Yeah. I would think so.
But Conley should be targeted.
Exactly. I would make Conley the first target, but knowing that I probably have a better shot at getting Rondo.
But it appears to me, now once again, we're always reading into things, but from Rondo's comments that he made last week when he discussed, he said, hey, I didn't have an exit interview because I'm a free agent. I'm not on the roster. But I did speak with Vlade Divac, and we both want to go in the same direction. And then what did he say after that? It's just a question of whether we can work it out financially. That, to me, is a player saying, I want max money to come back here.
Again, last year, when he signed here, the Sacramento Kings paid $10 million.
Yeah, 10.
And they were bidding against who?
Themselves. Right?
Right. So who's going to make that strong push for Rajon Rondo now? Because knowing that he wants money, knowing that he had the kind of year that he had last year, who's going to make that push and say, okay, we'll give you a max deal for this number of years? 3 years, 4 years, whatever it is. Who?
Lakers?
Ugh.
No.
Maybe.
I can't see that. I don't know why you'd want Rondo with that group. I mean, you have D'Angelo Russell there. I don't know
Is he the point guard?
Yeah. So, wait, what are you doing there if you're the Kings? Because you also still have to worry about your starting point guard and a backup, by the way.
Now you got
to
get a backup,
unless
right.
you can deal Curry again, get a deal with him. I know he opted out, but you could still sign Curry.
Sure. I mean, what did we set the Curry restricted limit on? Was it like $4 million that you'd be willing to pay him?
Yeah.
That is, I don't think someone's going to go over that. So
are you better, though? Is that team better if we're just kind of just mapping it out quickly? Cousins, Ibaka, Rudy Gay.
Are you instantly better defensively because Serge Ibaka's here?
Well, yeah, absolutely. You've got at least one person on the court that wants to play defense, wants to block your shot. So that instantly is desire, right?
So you just have to be. You have to make sure you're re-signing.
You
Rondo
have to the problem. Yeah,
the minimum,
and that's the thing.
Because if you're probably not getting Conley, but if you lost Rondo,
you dealt Collison,
Collison's contract is so good.
It's
so friendly for one more year.
Right. It's not that I want to dump off Collison.
No.
It's a need for Oklahoma City.
Yes.
Like, I don't think Oklahoma City looks at this roster and goes, send me Ben McLemore. Yeah. Oh, great. That works out for everybody. I don't think it works that way for Oklahoma City.
Yeah, like, I would have thought Thaddeus Young would cost more.
Sure.
And I just, could have been had.
Ben Affleck had an absolutely epic NFL rant. And I think, gentlemen, we may have time for tweets from Magic Johnson in the next segment.
Always time.
Plus your phone calls, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Welcome back to the Lowdown. Thank you so much for tuning in. Jay Ross, Ken Rudolph. I'm Damian Barling, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. We got these phone lines open up for you. We got tweets from Magic Johnson on the way. Ben Affleck had a just amazing appearance on Bill Simmons' first ever HBO show. We're going to run that audio for you here in just a second, but we wanted to start. Matt, we appreciate the phone call, man. What do you got for us?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
We're doing well. We're doing well.
Super.
Hey, just hitting on a couple things you've been talking about. First of all, I know you guys were saying this in jest, but I actually kind of think the J.J. Redick-Buddy Hield comparison is a pretty good one.
Yeah, it's not a bad comparison. It's just a comparison they don't make very often.
Well, right. Yeah. Yeah, because, you know.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And it's going to happen a million times tonight.
I absolutely agree. But I do think their games are actually fairly similar. But anyway, I've got a little bit of a different take on the reason why agents are reticent to have their their rookies come to Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
I think it has less to do with just that the Kings aren't very good, and more with the fact, and part of it is related to the dysfunction, but part of it is the fact that they just have a very poor track record of developing young players. And since the draft picks are slotted, the salaries are slotted, there's not much they could do about the first contract. These agents are after maximizing their client's second contract.
Sure.
No doubt, yeah.
Yeah, no, yeah, that's actually a great point.
Absolutely.
That's a tremendous point. We had a conversation about that the other day, right? Mm-hmm. We're a freshman coming out because...
Starting the clock early
to get to that second contract. One, yeah.
To number two.
Right. And so if the guy doesn't develop, their earning potential on that second contract is going to go down. And so I think to me, even if the reality doesn't match the perception, the agent is looking out for the best interest of themselves because they get a chunk of that and their client, and mm-hmm. that's why they're trying to fade him away from a team. That
well, you're fading away a little bit yeah. there, Matt. So, oh, there you are. Go ahead. Finish it out.
Okay. Yeah, they're trying to – so I think they're just trying to steer their client away from teams that they don't perceive as –
won't be able to max out that second contract.
That's right.
Yeah, absolutely. Good stuff there, Matt. We appreciate it. Thank you so much for the call.
One more thing real quick, if you don't mind.
Absolutely. Go for it.
Okay. Boston, to me, that pick next year, that pick swap with the Nets,
yep.
is extremely valuable because by all indications – next year's draft is supposed to be the monster one. And I wanted to, before I let you go, just wanted to throw out for Jason Ross, speaking of that, one of the guys UCLA got, you know who that Lonzo Ball kid is?
Yeah. Yeah, their prize recruit.
Yes. Ken and D'Lo, if you don't, look up the Chino Hills High School basketball team. Absolutely amazing. So I don't know if you want to talk about that. I know everyone really wants some UCLA.
I know.
Yeah, they do.
We're going to talk all things associated with UCLA whenever Jay Ross is here. Thanks again, Matt. We really appreciate it. You know, he brought up Boston in the pick swap next year. They got a pick swap this year. That's why they're at three. Minnesota and Sacramento and Philadelphia have all engaged in talks in the last 24 hours for that pick.
Okay.
Let's go quickly. So he's talking about that Chino Hills, number one team in the nation,
mm-hmm.
right? That has a couple of brothers and a couple of cousins. Or
I don't know their full story. I just know the one guy that's definitely going to UCLA.
Okay, yeah.
Apparently, like the big dog there. But
yeah, I saw them. I think it may have been the championship game.
Did they play up here?
No, because I saw the video of it.
Oh, gotcha, yeah.
I work with someone who's at CBS who's really big into that. So they're
okay.
You got to watch this team. You got to watch this team. And so the first half, they were kind of not doing what they were supposed to be doing. Then the second half, they just went completely nuts.
Kicked it in.
And just blew that team. Off the court.
Son of the G-Man, Bob Gerald, is going to join us at the top of the hour. BaselineSpin.com. He's got some interesting draft perspective. We got tweets from Magic Johnson coming up here in just a second. Bill Simmons, Any Given Wednesday show debuted with an epic performance.
But wait a minute, it's on HBO. Wouldn't it have some language that we probably...
There's lots of beeps in this upcoming audio. Here's Ben Affleck. You know, Ben Affleck is a Boston guy.
Yes, he is.
We haven't done anything to address this crisis in domestic violence in the NFL, but the football better not be 8% lighter. And if we find out it is, you're gone for four games.
Well, there's more.
Deflategate is the ultimate bull outrage of sports ever. It's so stupid that I can't believe you realize they gave him a suspension for a quarter of the regular season, which would be equivalent of suspending a baseball player for 40 and a quarter days, which is what they do for when you get busted taking steroids.
Bill Simmons had to be uncomfortable with that whole tirade. Like, dude, this is my first show. What are you doing?
Is it just me, or did he sound like maybe he had a beverage or two?
A little bit. Now, Bill Simmons came out and said, we recorded it early, late in the morning. He wasn't drinking. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a little slur there to some of those words. And one more here on Brady's cell phone.
I would never give the organization as leak prone as the NFL my cell phone so you could just look through my emails. First thing they're going to do is leak this. I don't know, maybe it's funny, lovely sex messages from his wife. Maybe Tom Brady's so classy and such a gentleman that he doesn't want people to know that he may have reflected on his real opinion of some of his co-workers.
Yeah, he was drinking.
He's pretty comfortable.
Right?
Man. Who uses the term effing classy, by the way? How does that go together?
He's from Boston.
How does that go together? Like, come on, man.
Surprised he didn't say wicked before that.
Yeah, well, exactly. Good for the sports guy. That's a way to get people interested in your show.
And plus, when you're an actor and you've already won an Academy Award, what do you care what anybody thinks?
Yeah. True. And all that language, we need something to kind of bring us.
We need the center of us.
Yes. Whenever you need to be.
Namaste.
Centered, you just go to the Twitter account of at Magic Johnson. And gentlemen, I'll lead us off if you don't mind.
I've got you. Go ahead.
You know I'm a big, unapologetic WNBA supporter, even though they make it quite difficult at times, like putting the marquee matchup of the year on at 12 o'clock in the afternoon on a Tuesday. But nonetheless, Magic, part owner of the Los Angeles Sparks, says, Sparks Nation, Candace Parker is on a mission to bring a championship to L.A., much like LeBron James did for Cleveland. Hashtag go Sparks. Now, before you thank Magic,
can we correct
I would
that?
Just like to point out, Candace Parker's from Chicago.
Yes.
So this is nothing like what LeBron James did for Cleveland.
And I'm pretty sure the Sparks have already won.
A couple of
WNBA championships.
Yes. His teammate, Michael Cooper, was the coach for those two championships. But nonetheless, thanks Magic.
J.R. Smith would still be shirtless at that parade, too.
No doubt.
Well, that'd be for a reason, though.
Yeah. I'm going to give you this. Back to Game 7. Everybody's anticipating Game 7. This is a little bit in the way back machine for Magic.
Does he say the winner wins the championship?
Well, I think this is more from his coaching days. Remember the coaching days of Magic Johnson?
Oh, yes.
He gives us this gem on June 16th. If Golden State is going to win Game 7, they have to play much better on the defensive end than they did in the last two games.
Thanks Magic.
548 retweets, 980 likes for that gem.
And here we go. Let's take you back to basketball, because that's where Magic lives.
Yeah.
Let's take you back to the end of the NBA Finals. Bad shot selection, especially from the three-point line, cost the Golden State Warriors a championship. Thanks Magic.
Can we throw in one more honorable mention that
please.
Is almost
is it from the text
pass.
Line?
No, it's not. Not yet. Those will come. Those are generally the best. Wow, what a matchup. MLB's best pitcher, Clayton Kershaw, faces off against the Nationals' Steven Strasburg tonight. You may have jumped the gun on that tweet a little bit. But nonetheless,
thanks Magic.
That concludes today's edition of Tweets from Magic Johnson.
I got the magic in me. Every time I touch that track, it turns into gold.
So now
that was a great direction to go after the angry Ben Affleck segment.
But now what are we going to get from Magic? No more basketball. So it's all going to be
baseball
Sparks tweets?
Baseball, WNBA,
he'll have
knows?
Fun with the draft and free agency.
Oh,
maybe
yeah.
He'll tweet Candace Parker's really good.
Yes. Wait a minute. They play again, though.
They play, they play. Is it tomorrow?
Is it tomorrow?
Tonight or tomorrow on WNBA NBA TV.
Sparks and Lynx?
Yep.
Yeah. I know, I was so disappointed because we were doing the show on Tuesday, and I looked up, and there's like 1.6 seconds on the clock.
Incredible ending to the game.
And I'm like, woo.
I had a segment. We do the and one segment.
Yes,
my
sir.
Segment was watch this game tonight. As I'm writing out the notes for this segment, the damn thing is on.
Yeah.
Now, I get they do these kids' camp games a lot, but at some point you had to go, you know what, these are two of the marquee teams with –
They're undefeated.
Maybe
both undefeated.
Five
at the time.
Of the greatest players to ever play the game on the court at the same time. Maybe this should be our ESPN game tonight.
Yeah, and that's
but this, the WNBA doesn't always think logically.
I was going to say that kind of underscores what you've been talking
why
about.
Why they're in the position that they're in.
Mm-hmm.
As we mentioned, Bob Gerald, BaselineSpin.com. He's going to join us at the top of the hour, and the Cavs put a cap on their championship season. We got that next. Bob Gerald of BaselineSpin.com joins us to break down the draft at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. Old tweet here, if you're a Kings fan, fact that the front office is even picking up the phone for Philly at this point should be terrifying.
Oh, man.
Have we determined why Harbaugh is in Sacramento at this moment?
Yeah, we just saw tweets that he's in Sacramento, and now I'm mad.
Like, what is he doing? Why don't we know this? He's not recruiting.
He's got a jersey on, so that he usually wears those for those. I don't know if he's got a satellite camera.
Yeah, and it's tucked in.
Well, that's how he rolls.
You can't do that.
He's still wearing the Dockers.
You can't do that.
Harbaugh
can do what he wants.
Hey, he left the shirt on this time.
Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah. Oh, he'll take it off because it's going to be a little warm today. He'll take it off.
Well, thankful for that.
Sun's
so
out,
why can
out.
Harbaugh take his shirt off, but you're mad at J.R. Smith for walking around for the last 3 days without a shirt on?
Because
4 days.
Harbaugh did it when he was working up a sweat. He's out there running around with these 18, 19-year-old kids. He's working up a sweat. You got to take your shirt off at some point. What was J.R. Smith doing working up a sweat on an airplane?
Well, I told you my theory on that. I gave you a very clear theory of what I thought he was doing on that plane when they said, hey, man, we got to get off
Here's my thing. I'm just going back to his whole speech after they won the NBA championship about how he'd been letting his family down. And then you say you want to do better by your family. Now, I'm not saying that having your shirt off is making your family look bad. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is that being an NBA champion, now every time I see you for the past 5 days, you don't have a shirt on.
Why are you mad, bro?
Oh, I'm not mad.
You mad at him.
I'm telling you, this is why his daddy wasn't hugging him.
He did not show him much love after that heartfelt press conference and the tears.
Yeah.
His dad just gave him kind of like, all right.
Good job.
You're embarrassing us, son.
You still owe me $250, boy. So
LeBron did have a nice little love letter for Kevin Love, though, at the parade.
This guy is so misunderstood. Everybody says, well, he's not.
By the way, how much after all that partying and drinking does LeBron sound like Doc Rivers right now? He sounds just like Doc Rivers.
He's not a winner. He doesn't do what it takes. And you guys saw his struggles throughout the finals. Everything that happened from the concussion to sitting out, everybody just burying him alive throughout the finals. And to be able to respond like he did in game 7, that's what real men do. They respond in that most adverse times. And we talk about the shot, we talk about the block, but the stop? That was on a two-time MVP, by the way. That was on a two-time MVP. We got that stop, but I'm going to let that go. Thank you.
I'm Kevin Love, I'm like, thank you?
If I'm Steph, I'm like, oh, okay.
Okay.
All right.
Did Aisha tweet about that?
But that was nice.
It was nice.
But once again,
and he did that, by the way, for every one of his teammates. If you didn't, I'm sure no one sat through that entire parade unless you're a Cleveland Cavalier fan, but it was pretty awesome.
But then once again, that's one of those things where, in my opinion, it's just like J.R. Smith. It's so easy to do all this stuff after you have won. But what are you doing when the chips are down? J.R. Smith should have been saying that stuff 4 years ago. You don't wait until you win. You're like, it's been such a
hard
road.
Why are you still talking about J.R. Smith?
Because it was phony, man.
LeBron, that wasn't phony. That was real emotion.
That wasn't real. He's not doing anything to back it up. I don't have time for that. And then LeBron, you're only saying
that. Get off my lawn. Stop looking at my lemonade.
LeBron's only saying that because they won.
Yeah.
Most cynical.
He should have been backing his dude up when he was struggling. When his dude was struggling, he should have been like,
he didn't like him then.
That's what I'm saying. That's why it's kind of a sorry move. When he was struggling, he should have been, hey, that's my teammate. He's going to step up at some point. We're not worried about him. We're going to do this together. But he never does that stuff when the chips are down.
Maybe that was one special hug Kevin Love gave him.
I'm just, when the stuff's going wrong, that's when the leader steps up and says, hey, leave that dude alone. But he never did.
I've never seen LeBron do that.
Never did.
Buskers. He may have been drunk when he was up there, so he's not clear of what his voice was shot. I've heard that voice before.
Right, yeah.
After a long weekend.
We've all had that at least once or twice. I know I have.
And watching the clips of that yesterday made me think, if we're all fortunate enough to be alive the day the Kings ever win a title, where are we going to fit everybody? Where are they going to do that?
Oh, man.
Well, downtown Cleveland is much smaller than what we have to deal with.
Okay.
So we can do it? Yeah.
1.3 million people. That's crazy.
They were stacked up three on top of each other.
We have that stuff where they're hanging from, like,
they
signs.
They were on that building and scaling that thing. Yeah.
I mean, the backdrop in front of the Capitol would be pretty incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'd imagine it might have to be closer to the arena. I don't know.
Well, think about it. I know.
Of course, they're right by each other. So I drove on the I had always driven down one side of the arena, the mm-hmm. J Street side. Mm-hmm. I was coming from somewhere, and I was on the other side. I was like, oh, my God, it's the other side of the arena. This thing is enormous. Because from J Street, it's further away.
Right.
I was like, holy crap, this thing is, like, done.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But we had the big parade for the American heroes. Mm-hmm. The three individuals from Sacramento that stopped that terrorist on the Paris-bound train. That was a massive parade down there by the state capitol. And everybody came out because these are American heroes.
Sure.
And members of the military. So everyone came out. And Sacramento seemed to handle it just fine. I mean, I can't imagine. I mean, obviously, I guess I have to assume that a Kings championship would bring out more people. But I'm not sure.
I think so.
Well, that's a shame. We're celebrating.
Maybe I'm the cynical.
We were celebrating three American heroes.
I understand that.
Who did something pretty
amazing.
Are
you aware of how sports works?
Yeah, I am aware. That's why I was like, they probably might get more people.
Harbaugh is doing a football clinic at Intercom High in Natomas.
And we're finding.
Thanks to my man Juan Valdez for getting me that.
Oh, Juan's the man.
Hey, that's not helping us now, Juan. Thanks, though.
Damn.
Should have told me that yesterday. Well.
Thank you, Juan.
Dude, you are unbearable sometimes.
No, I'm
he
not.
Needed the nap.
This is like the cranky Ken segment.
I'm not cranky, but we do.
You mad at J.R. Smith because he doesn't have a shirt on?
Because he's not sincere.
You mad? Yeah, I don't know. I had no idea Harbaugh was going to be here.
So as a member of the media, I'm upset that we didn't know. Super upset.
Maybe we're not supposed to know. Maybe we weren't supposed to say that.
out on Twitter. He's out. It's out there.
It's on Twitter. We didn't do anything.
But then say where he was.
Oh.
We did that.
Uh-oh.
I feel like we got to squeeze a bunch of stuff in because we got Bob Gerald coming up from BaselineSpin.com at the top of the hour. Ton of draft stuff to dig into. Did you see Yasiel Puig yesterday?
Yeah.
His walk-off yesterday? This is ridiculous.
Go ahead. Ground ball right by the diving Espinosa, stopping at second, and the ball goes through Taylor's legs. Here comes Kendrick to tie. Puig is on his way. The relay is double clutch. Can you believe it? The Dodgers win it 4-3.
And Dave Roberts just with the best explanation here.
I think there's something about Yasiel that's very fascinating. You love him and you find yourself other times scratching your head, but he definitely brings energy, you know?
You just find yourself scratching your head sometimes.
Isn't the other line supposed to be you hate him?
But then he can do that. No, you love him, and then he just leaves you going, huh?
Because what was it, 2 weeks ago, they had to bench him.
Right.
He didn't run out the hit.
And this was all hustle. And you're like, okay, you're capable, and you're fast.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, well, that's all I got to do this season. I'm done, right, guys?
You remember that play? Remember that time?
Remember that one time? Yeah.
Yeah.
So much
and
talent,
that poor kid, Taylor.
Yeah, went right. He had a
he struck
day.
Out like five times yesterday.
He had the game-losing error.
Game ends like that.
You say he got the golden sombrero?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Skipper's got to sit him.
Yeah.
Skipper's got to be like, you need to go clear your mind. You take a day off.
Maybe two. Sit you twice. We'll get you on the weekend.
You go back to the hotel.
Yeah.
We're going to dig into every aspect of tonight's NBA draft coming up at 2 o'clock, and Bob Gerald's going to kick things off for us next on The Lowdown.